The wall in Texas has officially begun. Next is funding. A letter that we are about to sign provides $250 million to be allocated as a down payment to begin the border wall. That's $250 million, and it's more than enough to hire the project manager and the contractors and to begin building the wall.
Open up your wallets, muchachos. It's time to build a wall in the Texas-Mexico border. We got some wall already. It's just we need a lot more. Welcome to the Dana Show, Thursday edition, Hour 1. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and from my friend Dana Lash, and reporting to you again from her Southern Command, the studios of KURV Talk Radio, News Talk in South Texas, right here on the U.S.-Mexican border. We got a little bit more wall to build down here. We got a little bit of wall already. Some of it built during the GW administration, and of course, we got a little bit more with the Donald Trump administration, but whatever Border Patrol says, whatever Border Patrol wants, that's what I say. That's their job, is to secure the U.S.-Mexican border. So Governor Greg Abbott says it's time to build a wall, and he's going to crowdfund it, I guess. $250 million is the seed money. Now, the governor said there's already money that has come in, people donating money, I'm guessing in the past, that already allocated some money provided to the state of Texas to try to build something. What was it that I heard? They said it was, here was the number, $1 billion would buy you 50 miles, they say. Now, that's $1 billion. $1 billion based on an old template, the old, you know, this is my words, bloated a federal contractor estimates on it. There's probably other versions of structure or wall that can be built. Behind the governor, the driving force, from what I see, it's the farmers, it's the ranchers, it's the cattle farm, you know, farms out there that are getting their fences broken up. Their herds are going all over the place on a nightly basis. It's the rural property owners who are dealing with the overnight flow and tsunami of humanity crossing their property, transgressing their property. They don't feel safe. They're having to wake up in all sorts all hours of the morning, early in the morning, to try to fix their fences, put some new post holes in there, but get the machinery out there. It's the rural population in Texas near the border and north of the border that's getting their butts kicked right now. And I think that's what's driving the governor to get it done. Because folks in the city, Houston, Dallas, the big cities, they don't have to deal with this. All they know in Houston and Dallas, for example, is that crime is up. And I'll bet you a dollar to a dozen donuts, man, I will bet you that part of the increase, and we have seen an increase in crime in big cities, which is part of the conversation for this day, by the way. I got Congressman Andy Biggs later in the show talking about a spike in crime in major U.S. cities, correlation perhaps to the whole defund the police craziness, that battle cry from the left, which I would tag on one more element to this, the increase in gang activity and foot soldiers for gangs, MS-13 and the likes, coming up from Central America that are now on the ground, and all these prison gangs that are on the ground, very active in major U.S. cities. They're probably part of the problem because we know they're crossing the border. Federal government's supposed to be securing the border, paying for that. It's not, it won't under this administration. We are alone. I say we on the border, we're alone, especially the ranchers and the farmers that are having to deal with all these criminal gangs and these coyotes and these very aggressive individuals. There's a lot of reports of these individuals being very aggressive of late, very pushy and making a lot of demands and breaking into ranch homes and properties. They've been abandoned by the federal government, and the governor of Texas, with your help, that's what he's saying, with your help, he wants to do something about it. Got the governor of Florida, as Dana says, America's governor. Ron DeSantis chiming in on this, as Governor Greg Abbott was making the push, saying $250 million in seed money to create some sort of structure. Landowners on the border donating their land, if they wish to donate their land, asking the federal government, yeah, good luck, governor. asking, you're probably going to have to sue the government, demanding that the federal government return land that had been seized at one time for border project, return it to the landowner so the landowner can give it to the state of Texas and build some type of structure, maybe a more affordable structure. Governor Ron DeSantis is America's governor, Ron DeSantis, saying he's willing to send help. Oh, you got some audio, Steve? Roll it, man. Is Ron DeSantis willing to help out Texas, send some help? Go ahead, Steve.
That was recently sent by the governors of Texas and Arizona seeking mutual aid, which we do all the time in inches of emergency. These states have sent Florida support when we've responded to emergencies here in our state, and they wanted support so that they could do what the federal government is either unwilling or unable to do.
Both unwilling and unable, because obviously we don't have the proper manpower. Obviously we don't have the policies in place, and that's the unable part of it. The laws need to be changed by Congress in order, so that individuals don't game the asylum system. They don't put a foot on U.S. soil and demand that they be given an asylum hearing and stay here until they get an asylum hearing. Yeah, current policy, our federal government completely unable to do anything because they've got their hands all tied up because of poor policy, awful law that's in the books. And unwilling. Unwilling would be the Joe Biden crew and the Democrat company presently up in Washington, D.C. So let's see how much money can be raised for this Texas border wall. Stay tuned for that. Big news over the past couple of hours on this Thursday from the high court, and there'll be plenty of fleshing out of this, but one that had been talked about quite a bit, the high court unanimously, and the way I understood it, unanimous, because I think they threw it back to a lower court ruling on this one, but the high court standing up for religious liberty unanimously sided with a foster care agency, a Catholic foster care agency in Philadelphia. The religious viewpoint of the Catholic foster care agency prevents Catholics, Christians, as they define marriage in the Bible, their Christian Bible, it's one man, one woman, and it's not same-sex marriage, same-sex couples. That is not in accordance to Catholic faith. And the Catholic foster care agency was not working with same-sex couples as foster parents. So the high court said that the city of Philadelphia was wrong in limiting its relationship with this Catholic foster care group. And they limited their participation with the Catholic group because specifically their deeply held belief that marriage is one man, one woman, and same-sex was not going to apply with them. So today's ruling, they were busy at the high court today, but they still are. I'm probably expecting a couple more rulings here before the end of the day. I know 9 o'clock Eastern is usually the time that we hear stuff like this, but maybe today, maybe tomorrow, a couple more rulings. So the decision, unanimous decision by the high court, deemed a victory for religious freedom. It was a victory for Catholic social services that's linked to the Archdiocese in Philadelphia. And one of the comments from the court saying that Philadelphia's position on this matter, specifically not working with the Catholic diocese foster parent Catholic social services agency, the specific stance because they would not work with same-sex foster parents, cannot survive strict scrutiny, violates the First Amendment. The specific words from the high court. And again, it was unanimous from the high court. Also, another ruling. Do I say upholding? I don't know. Obamacare, Texas and other states tried to take it down as a whole. They failed. It was a 7-2 decision. The high court just completely dismissed the challenge on Obamacare. And Obamacare stands as is because part of the decision on Obamacare today, the last read that I took in, also what stays in place is is the law's requirement, the now toothless, as that writer said, the toothless requirement that individuals have health care or pay a penalty. In other words, the penalty clause, the tax, as the Chief Justice John Roberts did all these legal contortions to try to defend and protect and preserve the Obamacare law. So, penalty? No, it's actually a tax. And the whole thing, and how in new law that was taken out, that was pretty much done away with. Yeah, the toothless requirement on health insurance, either have a health insurance or pay a penalty. I'm sorry, pay a tax. Yeah, that's also stands. So the way it is right now, people that have bought into their exchanges and purchased Obamacare, it stays as is. Over at the Pentagon, they've got their priority straight, I guess. You've heard plenty of the past several days about new woke recruitment efforts by the Pentagon. And of all the things that they need to be concentrating on, you think, right? Especially on the cybersecurity side, you think that the Pentagon military folks would be doubling down on efforts to make sure we hire enough nerds over the Pentagon to protect our country, protect defenses, protect critical systems in our country from cyber terrorists and cyber soldiers. No, I know they can walk and chew gum at the same time, but this is the woke culture that is keeping some folks at the Pentagon and bases busy these days. Here in Texas, Fort Hood working on a name change right now, because after all, this is top priority in our country. We got to change the names of all these bases, all these military installations that have Confederate general names or Confederate leader names to them. That's what's taking place in Texas right now. Base leadership, Killeen, Fort Hood this week, meeting with members from the Pentagon, from their naming commission, discussing the matter of possibly changing Fort Hood's name. Fort Hood is named after General John Bill Hood. So the Defense Department reviewing all military bases named for Confederate leaders. 19 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You can join the conversation at 844-344-3262.
It's not weird to give dad underwear for Father's Day. It's an act of mercy. Give him an upgrade with new Tommy John underwear. Tommy John's are not some run-of-the-mill department store underwear. They're luxury that he'll enjoy every day. And all dads agree that when they're wearing Tommy John underwear, they're much more comfortable and they can do everything better. And that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Because with dozens of comfort innovations, once a dad tries Tommy John underwear, he's never going back. Lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. And there's no risk because he's always covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Visit TommyJohn.com/Dana for 20% off your first order today. Give him an upgrade with new Tommy John underwear. Tommy John's are not some run-of-the-mill department store underwear. They're luxury that he'll enjoy every day. Order by June 15th for delivery by Father's Day. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Dana. That's TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
From The Dana Show, Southern Command on the Texas-Mexico border. McAllen, Texas, McAllen Brownsville, RGV. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash, and congratulations to Dana. Talkers.com, that publication website, it's for this industry that you so enjoy. You join us on the talk show on a regular basis. This is like the Bible, right? Talkers.com. Dana, in the most recent publication a few days back, listed of the top 100, number six. But you wouldn't know it in case you went on Facebook and you went looking for that post, because when Dana posted that a few days back, it got red flagged by Facebook, or as some would appropriately say, and I would agree, fascist book. My goodness. Dana posted some pictures of how this, and she didn't say anything controversial. She simply put the banner from, again, the industry, the reporting magazine website, talkers.com, listing Dana number 6 nationwide of the top 100 talkers. She's number 6. She's that big. She is, I mean, she's the number 1 female talker, but number 6 overall with all the boys, everybody else. So Facebook post, your post goes against our community standards on spam. That's like, okay. So I grabbed it. I shared it on my page. You see it online. You grab it. You share it on your Facebook page. Just in case you guys, you still have Facebook, which unfortunately we don't have much of a choice right now. I'm still waiting for the Donald Trump-like billionaires and amigos to get together and create another platform. But go share it on your page as well. Congratulations to my friend Dana, number 6 nationwide, the top 100 talkers. She's the, and I would tell you, friend, she's at this time slot, which live is supposed to be noon to 3 p.m. Again, talk with your program director, your little talk station you're listening to right now, in case you listen later in the day or on the weekend, whenever. Tell them to carry Dana live. She is loaded for war, man. She's the top talker, period. And absolutely, in this time slot, noon to 3, there's no one better. I know it's my biased opinion. She's my friend, but listen to her and all the buffet and the flood of information that comes your way every single day on The Dana Show. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Royal Caribbean, they say they need to postpone for nearly a month, much anticipated first sail from the U.S. They say they got 8 crew members that tested positive for COVID-19. Better news from India. They say they will be reopening their famed marvel of love, the Taj Mahal, and several other touristy monuments. Seems like the coronavirus infection numbers are going through the floor in India. Well, that's good. Back to the U.S. national anthem now required to be played before sporting events in the state of Louisiana. The governor there signed that into law. Girl Scouts saying they've got about 15 million unsold boxes of Girl Scout cookies. They normally sell like 200 million boxes per year. But because, you know, COVID and the kids going to go out there and sell these boxes one-on-one, they got 15 million unsold boxes and warehouses. Gang, give that to the local food banks. Don't throw it away. From South Texas, you're listening to The Dana Show.
President Trump joins me to discuss the border crisis, the hopelessly biased media, and why Republican leaders like Mitch McConnell just don't get it and need to be replaced. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, you'll hear my extended one-on-one interview with President Donald Trump. He also shares why he believes Joe Biden is getting taken to the cleaners on the world stage and what he's planning for 2024. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident he'll change behavior. What do you do all the time? So when did I say I was confident? I said what will change their behavior is that the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating a fact.
But given his past behavior has not changed, and in that press conference, after sitting down with you for several hours, he denied any involvement in cyber attacks. He downplayed human rights abuses. He even refused to say Alexei Navalny's name. So how does that account to a constructive meeting as President Putin?
If you don't understand that, you're in your own business.
The video of that exchange is actually a lot more impressive because that's one of the first things that I was thinking and a lot of people were thinking. Had this been Donald Trump, the way, you know, he turned around, you could use words like he seemed to charge at reporter Caitlin Collins, wagging his finger. He looked irate. He looked in his face gestures. He looked like he was on the attack. Misogynist. You can just imagine how Donald Trump would have been again, yet again, attacked, crucified by the media for being misogynist and attacking a reporter and anti-press, anti-women, all that. And you didn't hear a single peep of that, no comparison whatsoever from the left. But, yeah, I know some of y'all paying attention. I saw y'all on Twitter. I saw those comments. Absolutely. Same thing. And that was just irresponsible behavior by Joe Biden. He apologized. I'm saying he apologized later. There was a shortcut on that. One of the final things he had to say before he got back on his plane, and she said later that she accepted the apology. Well, speaking of some of the final things that he said to reporters, no one in leftist media calling Joe Biden on the carpet for an outright lie. You can say it's an accidental misstatement of the facts. Maybe he has a wrong perspective. It's just, seriously, it's just an outright lie. Give you an example. Vladimir Putin brought up the issue of January 6th. And he said, well, that's Putin pretty much saying he doesn't allow protests because, well, look what happened January 6th. And then look what happened with the Black Lives Matter protest and Antifa protest long before that. That's why, in essence, Putin said he wasn't in favor of something like that. Well, Joe Biden, you know, he tried to defend BLM, Antifa, and at the same time condemn what took place on January 6th. The specific word that he used was killed, Joe Biden. The most striking fib on the part of Joe Biden suggested that those individuals who stormed the Capitol January 6th killed a police officer. His words, that they killed the police officer, Brian Sicknick. No, they didn't. Officer Sicknick died of natural causes. It took a while for the medical examiner to eventually come around and report that, but he died from strokes, and it was natural causes that took him in later on. This wasn't an attack and a murderous, rampaging mob that when they're killing all sorts of police officers. No. In fact, the January 6th event, as utterly stupid as it was, that all these individuals allowed their emotions to get the best of them, to be lured by other miscreants who likely took them in there and agitated them, got them all worked up. What they did, as disgusting as it was on January 6th, take cumulative everything that took place last summer, city after city after city, all these places from Houston to Minneapolis to Philadelphia to Atlanta, all these cities last year, Black Lives Matter protesting, Antifa violence on the streets, the attack on police officers, people who got burned out of their property, their businesses destroyed, and yes, killed by these attacks. There's absolutely no comparison. Anyway, no one calling Joe Biden on the lie when he said that the protesters actually killed Officer Sicknick. Another example in the news today of China trying to deflect. There's a senior Chinese epidemiologist in the news. Much like the lie from China, let's call it what it is, the lie from China. See, last year around, let's say, September, things like August or September of last year, there was a government official, communist Chinese government, who was pointing the finger of blame back at U.S. military installations, that it was the U.S. government, U.S. military, that might have been the culprit in releasing the coronavirus into the world. And that, of course, fell flat immediately because we were all laughing. We knew where it came from, despite the effort from the left to make sure we didn't call it a Chinese virus or the Wuhan virus. We all know, everyone knows it originated in Wuhan, China. Well, there's another one in the news today. I know, probably trying to curry favor with party leadership, but so this epidemiologist saying that the U.S. should be the focus of the next phase of the coronavirus origin investigation. I'm saying that there were several individuals, at least seven individuals in the U.S. that were infected with the novel coronavirus weeks before the first official case was reported. So there you go. Just another one, another lame Chinese attempt. Another lame attempt by someone in China, let me say it correctly, to try to blame the U.S. for the coronavirus. Again, plenty of missed opportunities during this G7, during this NATO sit-down, and yes, the sit-down with Vladimir Putin to hold China accountable. They completely missed the opportunity to hold them accountable, threaten sanctions, stop trading, do something, say something. Just demand that the Wuhan laboratory be shut down. Not even that came out of the lips of Joe Biden, because there is no leadership whatsoever up in Washington, D.C. at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I want to share with you a conversation I had with a cybersecurity pro. I started asking him about this list of 16 items that Joe Biden asked of Vladimir Putin, 16 sectors of the economy that should be off limits to cyber attacks. Of course, Vladimir always denying the whole involvement in cyber attacks, but President Biden pretty much showing him a no-gun zone version for cyber attacks. That and other vulnerabilities that you and I and maybe our friends and neighbors we're exposing ourselves and by extension our country to getting not only your personal information, but also maybe embedding malicious software into our computer systems because, well, we play way too many games online. Here's my conversation with the cybersecurity pro, Matt Malone. Some of the news we're reading today saying that Joe Biden told Vladimir Putin he had a list of 16 sectors in the economy. They're off limits to cyber attack. Okay, thank you, Mr. President. I will make sure to pass this along to my cyber criminals. Vladimir Putin continuously denied any involvement. Doesn't seem to be any pressure from the U.S. side pressing Vladimir Putin to find or arrest anybody in Russia. Vistrata, cybersecurity pro, Matt Malone. When the president said we have a cyber capability, he wanted Vladimir Putin to know that, like making a threat. Care to share with us what that might be, what you suspect it might be, this power that we have to fire back in the event that we get crippled next time with some cyber attack?
Well, I mean, so, you know, the U.S. does have some pretty good cyber people in the military, right? And we shut down Iran's nuclear system with a malware attack, right? So we have the skill sets. But I think when you brought in the intro and when you just ask someone like Vladimir Putin, hey, would you mind not attacking these places? You know, we're going to call this safety. that doesn't really work, right? They have not shown that they're interested in finding the criminals and then, like, or if they even are.
It's like the cyber world version of, this is a gun-free zone. No guns allowed. No guns allowed, people. Hello. They're going to do whatever the hell they want.
Exactly, yeah. And so I'll give you a perfect example. I had a customer a few years back that was a gold company here in Texas, and they were actually, this attacker from overseas attacked not only this gold company, but several like it. And they were getting $10,000 worth of actual gold out of these companies a month. And we figured out, I worked with the FBI. We were able to figure out who the attacker was, where they lived, where they slept, everything. When we went to that, you know, foreign national company or foreign nation and said, hey, here's who it is. Here's what we want to have happen. They said, yeah, no, we're good. So, you know, that's problematic.
Are they getting a little shaving off the gold, a little shaving from top? Is that what
it was? I'm sure, but, you know, yeah. And I mean, you know, if you're in China and you attack a Chinese company, they will cut your head off in the center of the square. Yeah. If you are in the U.S. and you attack a Russian company, they will, you know, put you in jail. The FBI will. If you're in Russia and you attack America, it's, you know, I think you get a medal. So it's problematic, and it's become a $20 billion a year problem. And to put that in perspective, you know, an aircraft carrier costs $12.8 billion, right? So we could be getting almost two aircraft carriers for the price that we're spending on ransomware.
Is the U.S. a leader in cybersecurity, or are we following?
You know, from cybersecurity, from a technical standpoint, I think we are a leader in building products. But from an actual tactical and using it as a military application, I think we're following other people.
Which begs the next question. If we're not leaders in offense, can we at least be leaders in defense and set up proper firewalls?
Exactly. Well, and the biggest way to do that, right? So if you go to a company and you say, who's in charge of security, and you point to the one guy up in the top who's the CISO or the chief information security officer, and you say, that's the guy. Or you point to the guy at the front desk with a gun, and you say, that's the guy. That's incorrect. It's every single person in the company. And who can protect America is every single person in America, right? So we all kind of have to have this understanding of, well, we need to be paying attention to technology. For instance, this Facebook stuff that's going on, where, you know, hey, tell me, it's crazy. I was looking the other day in my feed, and there's this thing that said, hey, you know, your porn name is the first car you had and the color of whatever you're wearing, the shirt you're wearing.
Yeah.
Well, those are actually feeding dictionary attacks. Because in Russia, they don't understand American slang sometimes, so they build these bots that go collect out this data, and then they run dictionary attacks against this. So, you know, Americans are feeding their system that's attacking us.
What do they get from us when we volunteer and participate in these little quizzes and games that they provide?
So what we're surrendering is, you know, usernames and passwords, basically. So if you go to Wiki and look up password guessing, right? So there's things called dictionary attacks, and there's things called password guessers. But all of that stuff can be correlated and recreated, right? So you can basically take the username that sent it to you, and then you can start attacking their Facebook. Once you get into their Facebook, you can start building a bot army. So it's these social engineering attacks that kind of happen that build up into the larger attacks. So all the malware and the ransomware attacks that you've seen are actually start from social engineering attacks.
Apparently, we don't have enough to do in the workforce right now. The people, for example, I'm not saying that this is one of those seeds that might be a cyber attack or a phishing, data phishing information. But you know the most popular one right now? People putting a picture of themselves and then having a cartoon version of it come back to them. Have you seen that one?
Yes. Yeah.
That's all over the place.
We give away our information. You know, we'll trade it to Facebook. We'll trade it to Google. We'll trade it to whoever for any kind of little piece of, you know, a glimmer photo that we want. And all of that data on the back end is being bought and sold and traded. And,
the concern that was expressed online is that people upload their picture. They provide their picture to someone to go send them back a cartoon, Disney-like cartoon picture of themselves. All that stuff, they could be used to open up another Facebook account, another Facebook page with their images.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, AI is kind of built in to a lot of this stuff, and it's problematic, and we don't really understand. People look at technology and they say, oh, you know, there's somebody who's out there who will protect us. But the reality is, I mean, we need to be protecting ourselves. We need to be paying attention to this stuff and really learning. So, you know, in World War II, they had the Civil Air Patrol. They had, you know, everybody was kind of part of the war effort. And right now we're in a cyber war and we're losing badly.
Brother, you're asking for too much. TikTok is Chinese government owned. It's owned by the Chi-Coms. It's 100 million people in the U.S. participating. No one is listening. They're just surrendering all this information and posting all these stupid videos. TikTok. Yeah, congratulations for providing the Chi-Coms all your information and providing them eyeballs. Thank you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
And on that happy note, we'll call you again. Thank you, Matt.
All right, thanks. You have a great day.
Cybersecurity pro Matt Malone. As they say, if we could only save one person, it's worth the effort, right? And maybe like one person says, ah, screw this. Bye-bye, TikTok. Well, this entire interview was worth it today. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas.
Red meat, black coffee, truth-telling. The Dana Show.
From the studios of KURV in South Texas, McAllen, Brownsville. I'm Sergio Sanchez. And I refer to this area as the Dana Show Southern Command. Thank you, Dana, for the call. Get some rest, my friend. I'll be with you the rest of the week. And Dana, Lord willing, should be back with us on Monday. Dana Lash, according to Talkers, that magazine publication on the talk radio industry, number 6 and climbing fast. In fact, I believe Monday is the date. She'll be onboarding a slew of affiliates, so like a truckload of new affiliates joining the Dana Show on Monday. So here we go, still climbing. You go, girl. Let me see. Let me check the news stack real quick before we close out this hour. Tom Ridge, remember him? Former Homeland Security Secretary. There was a report out of the nation's capital that he suffered a stroke. He went over to a medical center. They removed a blood clot. Is in critical but stable condition. Just wanted to let you know. Just speedy recovery for Tom Ridge. In the state of Oregon, they've done what Colorado and Washington State has moved. They've moved on already. So the governor in Oregon has signed legislation that legalizes the process known as natural organic reduction. In other words, you can become a plant, or they can plant you in the ground next to a tree. And instead of putting you in a coffin full of, you know, formaldehyde or whatever it is that they put in you after they take your innards out and take all your blood out and, you know, be in a box and all this chemicals preserving you for a long time. I suppose you could choose now in Oregon, like in Washington and Colorado, maybe they'll put you like in a sack, like in a cloth sack, and put some seeds, and there you go. You sprout a tree, which, you know, it sounds pretty clean. I might be in favor of something like that. I'm concerned that maybe the Lord will let you live as a tree for a while. And then, like, what do you do when you get an itch, right? It's like you can't exactly, like start bending the branches, go try to scratch. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, broadcasting from her Southern Command in South Texas.
And once again today, the United States Supreme Court, in a 7-2 ruling, upheld the Affordable Care Act in the face of another legal challenge. So let me say definitively, the Affordable Care Act has won. The Supreme Court has just ruled. The ACA is here to stay.
Yeah, you recognize that annoying voice. Shut down Schumer, Chuck Schumer. Welcome to The Dana Show, Hour 2. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Yeah, well, the high court didn't say Obamacare is best thing since sliced bread. High court didn't say it's constitutional. They didn't even rule on it. Kind of reminds me of some of those challenges to the vote and state by state. Don't want to hear it. What the court said is Texas and 17 other states, they don't have legal standing. You can't bring the case. You don't have legal standing. So I'm not going to say anything about Obamacare. I'm not going to say anything about the law itself. It's just Texas. Yeah, you guys go back to the drawing board. You can't bring this lawsuit. More and more, I'm becoming evident that if we're going to get rid of Obamacare, it has to take place with the voters. You guys need to vote in a majority of Congress that's going to repeal this. Much like I saw moments back what they're working on in D.C. And they can repeal stuff that they passed. They're working on repealing the order from Congress, the permission given by Congress to allow for military activities, military actions in Iraq. They're actively working on dismantling that. They want to do it. They'll get it done up in Washington, D.C. The problem is you don't have the numbers right now for from individuals that would want to dismantle Obamacare. Oh, and on the predictions that Obamacare would collapse, because one item they were successful with during a brief period during the Donald Trump years, one item they were successful with the lawmakers is to remove the teeth of Obamacare. You know, that portion of Obamacare that Chief Justice John Roberts did all these legal contortions and redefinitions of the actual wording of the law in Obamacare, redefining penalty as a tax. You know, what John Roberts did is to stab everybody in the back. I'm guessing why, because he didn't want his legacy to be the justice that forever would be remembered as the individual who got rid of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. So the law says penalty. Okay, what they meant to say, it's a tax, so Congress can tax. But under the Trump administration, Congress got rid of that. They got rid of the teeth. You can't be, you cannot be forcing individuals to purchase something, pay for something. And the predictions that Obamacare would collapse without that mandate, that individual mandate was flushed down the toilet. And that's what gave Texas, the attorney general here in other states, the courage to perhaps be heard by the court and declare the law unconstitutional, which they never did because, again, no standing for Texas and everybody else because there's no teeth to this law. It's gone. Then how are you going to pay for it? What? It's a rhetorical question because how do we pay for it? Everything up in Washington, D.C.? It's like Dumb and Dumber on steroids. Just write up another IOU and put it in the suitcase, man. Just ask China to fork over a little bit more money so we can pay for something, and we'll pay China the interest and all the stuff that we borrow from them, all the currency, all the money we borrow from them. Yeah, that's the way the government works. It was not going to collapse because there's no funding from it, because nobody's paying the penalty for it. It was going to be part of the revenue for it is the penalty. I'm sorry, the tax. Government, they don't need money. They just make it out of whole cloth. Let's see here. Hey, stick around. I've got another interesting conversation. Post-summit with G7, post-summit with NATO, post-sit-down with Vladimir Putin, and all the missed opportunities. I went with a friend I've spoken with before. He's out of Florida running for Congress. He's an expert on defense issues. And tossed around from what I see, all the missed opportunities on demanding that the Wuhan coronavirus virology institute, that it be shut down. Not a peep from the world. Afghanistan, cyber threats, accountability of Russia, steer everyone away from Chinese dependence as far as trade, commerce, technology. None of that. All those missed opportunities. Corey Mills coming up in a little bit. He's a defense expert. Also running for Congress. You guys out in Florida, pay attention to Corey. And also Andy Biggs, Congressman Andy Biggs is trying to make that connection and allow everybody to make the connection between defund the police craziness and a massive spike in crime in American big cities. Congressman Andy Biggs from Arizona coming up in just a little bit. Meantime, in the state of Iowa, well, congratulations to the lawmakers there. They've got their Back the Blue legislation signed into law by their governor, Kim Reynolds. So in Iowa, and see, Texas has something similar. And I know Florida did something similar a few days back. So the law in Iowa makes rioting a felony instead of a misdemeanor. And in Iowa, the Back the Blue legislation is now going to increase penalties for blocking highways, blocking roads, and the Iowa law also giving police more protections against misconduct lawsuits. So I told you, Florida, Oklahoma, Minnesota had something similar as well. They're considering it in Minnesota, considering similar measures. In Texas, it got signed. I went looking. I remember reporting this a few days back. It was at the beginning of this month, Governor Greg Abbott signed Back the Blue legislation. There were several pieces of legislation. One of them was enhancing criminal penalties, the felony offenses. Anyone knowingly blocking an emergency vehicle, obstructing access to hospitals and healthcare facilities. And we saw some video of that. Well, all of this legislation has been inspired by real events, by on-the-ground rioting, looting, blocking ambulances, attacking police, using laser pointers. We saw that in Portland, Oregon. Big hug and a kiss to our affiliate out in Portland. How you doing, Bruce? It's real events that inspired this law. It's not a concern of something that may happen. It already happened, and we don't want it happening in Texas. We don't want it happening in Florida. And congratulations to the gang in Iowa. They've got their own version there. But back to Texas. So it was called House Bill 9. They've increased the penalties for individuals that block ambulances or block the entrances to hospitals. And as far as defunding the police, Texas law now freezes property tax revenue for cities that have more than 250,000 people, and they vote at City Hall to defund the police. Anything to defund the police, the city will lose annexation power for a decade, and any area that is annexed by a defunding city in the past 30 years can vote to disannex from the city. So that portion of the city that got swallowed up within the past three decades, if they pass defund the police measure at City Hall, you don't want to be part of that city, you can force the issue to dislodge yourself. That's part of Texas law now. Let me see what else. House Bill 2366. Again, Governor Abbott signing all this back the blue legislation. Increased penalties for the use of what we saw in Portland, Oregon at that courthouse. These Antifa types, they'd be rioting and attacking the federal courthouse all night long, and then in the morning go back, to mommy's basement and eat some meatloaf and rest up for another night of insurgency and attacks all night long in Portland. They were using laser pointers. I mean, right, shining those suckers right into the eyes of police officers, federal police officers, state folks who are responding to all the mayhem and violence. And the new law in Texas creates an offense for the use of fireworks as well in the effort to try to obstruct police or harm police. Well, good for lawmakers in Texas. I would imagine that the legislation out of Florida is probably very similar to this. But again, I'm just reading the Texas version of what they refer to as back the blue legislation. And here in Texas, Senate Bill 23 is going to require voter approval to reduce law enforcement budget at counties with more than a million people. If county commissioners say that they want to reduce money for the sheriff's office and deputies, then it's the voters at county. Again, if the county has more than a million people, they're the ones who need to say yes or no to this. If voter approval is not received, then that county, if the commissioners still move forward and defund or decrease their sheriff's office budget, then the county property tax revenue will be frozen by the state of Texas. So there you go. That's part of the back to blue legislation that's moving fast. It's at the state level, people, where you can make the change. I know that those elections are not that sexy, but I keep telling you, friend, efforts to back the blue, make sure that the county and cities do not defund the police. You, wherever you are across this beautiful country, that's where you need to get involved, and you need to get involved and be aware of who's running for state office. What do they represent? Do they support legislation like back the blue legislation? Is this what they're going to be defending when they go to your particular state capitol? I know those elections are not very sexy. You have to work hard to find out who's running, but you need to dig deep, especially when they start doing little debates over at the local community centers and start asking these hard questions to protect at the state level our community, our state, and by extension, the country. And all those reforms to elections laws and election processes, it all starts at the local level and at the state level. Like at various states, we got election reforms, protection for election processes at various states, all because local citizens are standing up. That's the only hope that we have in swing states, Pennsylvania and Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan. You guys on the ground, you need to get in there at state level. County level, work the elections, and at state level, make sure to send conservatives to state to protect these processes and protect law enforcement. You're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas. My name is Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash all week.
Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities, send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot, or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's the Dana Show.
Appreciate you checking in. The Dana Show from what I call her Southern Command in South Texas, the studios of KURV Radio here, the news talker of South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you can join the conversation at 844-344-3262. Stick around. I got some good conversations related to local security. And first up is the missed opportunities that I saw. I got a defense expert, Corey Mills, a conversation I had with him on all the different, all the things that shoulda, woulda, coulda. All these conversations that just took place, this big expensive trip to Europe, face-to-face. Yeah, great opportunity to address the issues, but none of the issues that should have been addressed were addressed. That's coming up a little bit. And also, Congressman Andy Biggs, next hour of the show, Lord willing, he shows up and we'll be talking about a massive spike in crime in big cities in our country as a result of, you know, defunding the police. All these efforts, all this craziness on the left to defund the police. I got headlines coming back up in a little bit, and we got Florida Man at the end of this hour as well. Meantime, I want to share this kind of a sad story before the headlines. Just an example, yet again, of, you know, the full-time occupation in taking care of your kids when it comes to online stuff that they see. And I know it's, I mean, as a parent, I know it's almost impossible to 24/7 make sure to see what's going on, especially when they get a little older. But this one from Massachusetts, a 13-year-old boy has died. Attempted another one of these stupid social media challenges. They've set up a fundraiser site to help out the family of Nate Squires. They found him unresponsive in his home in Amherst this past weekend. They call it a blackout challenge. And the person is supposed to choke himself, herself, the blackout challenge. And this little eighth grader went for it, and well, he's no longer with his family. Just another example of, you know, keep an eye on your kids on the online stuff. Go do the search, go put firewalls, whatever you need to do to make sure you know where they are. Okay, Steve, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So a travel industry pro saying it's probably going to take another day or two for Southwest Airlines to finally iron out all the wrinkles. Computer and software problems for them. On Monday, it was the weather sites they couldn't access. On Tuesday, it was the check-in systems for the bags. Everything had to be done manually. And, well, they're back up to full capacity now as far as checking everything. And they canceled 300 flights yesterday. Another couple of days before they make up for all those flights that had to be canceled. This note from Rhode Island, a 70-year-old man up there, going to be the first person in the world to receive a recently federal-approved Alzheimer's drug. First FDA-approved drug in 20 years. It is National Eat Your Vegetables Day. And after you eat your favorite veggie, I suppose you can enjoy a little bit of dessert. With National Apple Strudel Day, National Cherry Tart Day. From her Southern Command in South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. You are in tune with The Dana Show.
Dana gives you the meat and potatoes news of the day. None of that tofu news. More like bacon with a side of hash browns news. The news you want, the way you want it. The Dana Show.
Well, I guess the overall is we didn't get anything. We gave a very big stage to Russia, and we got nothing. We gave up something that was unbelievably valuable. I stopped the pipeline, Nord Stream, and that pipeline was stopped And it was given back, and nothing was gotten for it.
Yeah, given back in order to lure Vladimir Putin to that conversation with President Biden. Yeah, that's former President Trump last night on the cables. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Appreciate you checking in. I'm filling in for my friend to the remainder of the week. I'm here from her Southern Command in Deep South Texas, the front lines of news. So big happenings in the high court today. And as you heard, and I just saw moments back, Biden on, you know, stuff that's rolling on Twitter right now and the news pool of Biden and Chuck Schumer and everybody else going, yeah, the high court upholding the constitutionality of Obamacare. Well, yeah, technically, I suppose you could make that argument. But when the high court says you got no standing, you can't bring the lawsuit, it doesn't say anything about how constitutional the actual letter of the law is compared to previous cases. I mean, the whole constitutional argument was back when Judge Roberts, as I said, did all these legal contortions and, you know, just bending as much as he could and actually redefined the letter of the law and said that a penalty is a tax. Right now, it was Texas, 17 other states. You got no standing. Bye. Bye. Other big case out of the high court today. That one, I think, a lot closer to actually defending the constitutional right, the practice of religion in our country, which is permanently fused into the First Amendment. You can't be infringing on that. Now, you got a government entity, the government of Philadelphia, city of Philadelphia, and their refusal to work with a Catholic charities, Catholic diocese-based foster care agency, because the foster care agency of the Catholic Church, they do not recognize same-sex marriage, same-sex couples. I'm looking at this news report, and I'm thinking back to the whole legalization of gay marriage in our country. And all I can think about, and nothing, I'm not trying to be insulting to anyone that suffers from the medical condition, but the words that popped into my head was, yet this court ruling today, which, you know, I'm in favor of, I mean, religious institutions and charities and hospitals, they should not be told by the government. All these folks that are constantly arguing separation of church and state, separation of church and state, which is not in the Constitution, but it is a concept understood. Fine. Well, don't you be allowing the state to be telling the church how it should run its affairs, or limiting the church or religious people from expressing themselves in the public square or in the workforce or in society in general. But again, thinking back to the whole legalization of gay marriage in our country, what was used, if you guys remember, it was the Equal Protection Clause. That they kind of take the equal protection lettering, the words. Okay, let's use that, the equal protection, which was completely something completely different why it was written, the purpose it was written. The High Court did not look at the original intent or the purpose why equal protection was written. But they decided to fight, and they were quite successful, obviously successful in making that argument. If they can get married, we can get married too. If heterosexuals can get married, then, you know, homosexuals can get married as well. And they won. They won. But all I was thinking was legal schizophrenia. Again, I'm not trying to be insulting toward the medical condition, but it's yes here, no there, no there, yes here. It's still spinning in my head. High Court just told Philadelphia, you cannot deny working with a religious, Catholic, religious, Christian institution simply because they find it offensive or against their religion to work with same-sex couples that wish to provide help in the foster care system. Anyway, there'll be plenty of talking about this on the late night shows, and I'm sure, I suspect Dana might be writing something on that later in her newsletter, which, by the way, you should subscribe to her newsletter. Lots of information. She's on so-called vacation right now. She's still spinning that spool. She's still writing every single day. So check out the newsletter and subscribe to it today. Big thank you from my part to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, promising to send some help, send the cavalry to the state of Texas and Arizona, because Governor Greg Abbott has announced that we're going to build a wall. We're going to build the Texas wall with Mexico. Down payment, $250 million in state money. And you guys want to give to this? There's going to be a crowdfunded site. They're going to hire an administrator, a program manager, maybe talk to some contractors and some construction people. I would hope that they try to find a more affordable wall, because the way the federal government has been spending in the past, out of, let's say, $1 billion, you're only able to purchase about 50 miles of wall. I'm sure we could find a way to do things a bit more affordable in the state of Texas. But as Texas is going to plow forward, and former President Donald Trump, who you just heard here at the beginning, he's going to be on the Texas-Mexico border June 30th with the governor talking about the construction of this wall. I don't see it personally as a contiguous, continuous connection from Brownsville, Texas, tip of Texas, right there around where Elon Musk is flying his little rockets all the way to El Paso. I don't see it as a continuous wall. I do see it, and I would hope that it is. I didn't hear much of on the details from the governor, how it's going to be crowdfunded, and the state was going to provide $250 million for it and all that, the administrator and the contractor. I did not hear much talk about working with Border Patrol, and I do hope that that's part of the plan, because after all, we need to put the wall in coordination with the Border Patrol, in coordination with the landowners who wish to donate their land and participate with this structure, whatever form it takes. It needs to be a coordination with Border Patrol, so it helps them in doing their job and helps them, and by extension DPS behind them, trying to catch the coyotes or the drug smugglers. All right, so President Biden is back home. And all the big things that should have been taken care of, should have, would have, could have. Well, we can talk about that, I guess. I checked in with a friend, Corey Mills, and you guys out in Florida, pay attention. Corey would like to represent you and our nation up in Washington, D.C. He's still running for Congress. He's an expert. He's a veteran and an expert in defense issues. So go ahead, Steve. Well, let me share my conversation with Corey Mills out of Florida. President Biden is back home after meeting with G7 people, NATO friends, and he met with Vladimir Putin. All those conversations, all that time to meet with top leaders in the world, I saw a big missed opportunity. Corey Mills is a Republican strategist and advisor on Department of Defense issues. With all the suspicions about the coronavirus, perhaps it was that lab in China. Russia is neighbor to China. God forbid, if it was a leak, the next time that happens, well, Russia's right next door to China. There's going to be a lot of people hurt in Russia. And I didn't see any sense of urgency to address this issue and hold China accountable. I saw some lip service on the part of European nations and G7 nations about, oh, yeah, China needs to do more, but they need to threaten either sanctions or stop trading, make threats to China to stop stealing technology, not purchase anything from China, especially 5G technology. Big missed opportunity to hold China accountable, because there's no leadership at the White House right now. That's the way I see it, Corey.
Well, it's 100% true. Look, we know historically Democrats have never been good at holding our adversaries accountable. That's why we continue to go into failed trade agreements. We go into failed treaty agreements like JCPOA with Iran. That's why, you know, they talk about the fact that, you know, let's go back to President Trump. They talk about how President Trump was so in the pocket of Vladimir Putin, but it was President Trump who was holding Iran accountable. He put them through the hardest sanctions, diplomatic isolation, and he continued to cripple them financially until they were getting ready to come to the table. Let's also look at the fact that he removed America from the failed INF treaty with Russia. Let's also look at the fact that he rebalanced the trade deficit with China and was holding them accountable. Look, let's go back to something that should be understood by all Americans. This is called gain of function. When you talk about the China virus, we should be talking about the fact that why would you, in a level 4 virology lab, be designing and developing an actual virus that is being modified to be more communicable, meaning that it can be spread to more people and more deadly. You're only going to do that by setting its protein spike in a way that was intended to be utilized for some type of a weaponized purpose. When I look at China and I look at the CCP and its historically evil ways, I look at what was going on at the time. You had massive protests going on in Hong Kong, which they were trying to shut down because Xi Jinping was trying to eliminate the one country, two system framework, which he did after he locked down the city. You had the trade imbalance, which was hurting China economically, and they have a very high elderly population, so they needed to eliminate some of that elderly population. And they also are the highest manufacturers in the world outside of India for personal protective equipment, masks, gowns, visors, and also for medications. So how do you go ahead and shut down the protests going on in Hong Kong, rebalance your trade deficit that you now have basically been held to account for on the Trump administration, and try to go ahead and boost your economy and your GDP by releasing a weaponized virus like they have done? Why else would you have allowed people from Wuhan to travel to other parts internationally but not travel to mainland China and then try to hide this fact? Well, here's why. Because like you just mentioned about the 5G network, we know for a fact that French President Macron had called and asked whether or not he could buy PPE because the EU did not have enough PPE. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to say, yes, we'll be happy to do that, what they said was, no, we'll give it to you for free so long as you implement Huawei 5G across the board. Why? Because the entire intent was to go ahead and implement Huawei 5G across the world for espionage. And again, it was President Trump who shut down the Houston consulate because it was found that they were actually utilizing espionage. So, look, it's an embarrassment right now that we have Biden on the world stage who's trying to answer tough questions when in the U.S. the only thing he's getting asked is what his favorite ice cream is. And he doesn't have a flip card with someone in his ear telling him exactly what he needs to say. Look, Biden administration is weak when it comes to our foreign policy. Yeah. They were weak on Russia. And don't forget, this is the Obama 2.0 model. This is his third term, as Susan Wise and others hold the puppet strings. But remember, it was Obama in the hot mic incident who told Medvedev, when I get elected, I'll tell your boss I'll be able to do a lot more. Mm-hmm. Again, the Democrats have continued to be on an apology tour for being American, and President Trump and the Republicans are unapologetic when it comes to our stance on the world stage.
Speaking of elections, please tell me you are running again, Congress, Florida, wherever you are in Florida, right? Yes?
I am running for Florida 7th to defeat little Nancy Pelosi, Stephanie Murphy, here in Florida 7th. So absolutely, right. I'll be running.
10-4. Corey Mills, my guest right now, he's an expert on Department of Defense issues. And there's two things I wish I would hear from someone in leadership. Rand Paul's the only one really talking about stuff like this. And God bless him. Thank God for Dr. Rand Paul.
Absolutely.
One thing I would love to hear right now. Close the lab. Close the Wuhan lab. Somebody needs to start saying that close the Wuhan lab and have China try to defend it. Put them on their heels.
Let's go one step further. Start saying where the last, funding for China's
stop funding
war, where did it come from? It came under the Obama administration.
Yes. Yeah, stop funding and close the lab. That would be a proper way to fight back right now to get some answer. You never know. Maybe somebody will wake up and start saying it here pretty soon. Thank you, Corey.
I'll tell you something right now. If I come into Congress, one thing I'll tell you is that I'm looking at holding penalties and suing the Chinese government for the intentional spread of this. And what I'm looking at is all the debt bonds that they have. America has paid the largest debt possible with our lives and also the trillions of dollars that's gone into it. I want them to erase the debt that they hold for us, and we will owe them nothing when it comes to the actual China debt bonds.
Thank you, Corey. Best of luck to you. Keep in touch.
Thank you, sir.
From our Southern Command in South Texas, you're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. We got Florida Man right around the corner. And next hour of the show, it's Congressman Andy Biggs hoping to wake people up. There's a connection, correlation between defund the police and a spike in major U.S. cities, especially those that actually, and some of them actually move forward with those defund the police stupidity. This is The Dana Show. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, I love the Bee. Babylon Bee. They sent out some of their favorite, quote-unquote, Bible verses yesterday. You got to see that. You can subscribe, I think. I haven't looked much into it, but I still get their little emails every now and then. But yesterday it was favorite Bible verses, top seven favorite Bible verses. Of course, it's, I know some of y'all might think it's sacrilege, but look, it's all in fun. Poking fun at the left and everybody who wants to redefine everything in society, including, you know, the Bible, the Christian and Christian Bible. John 14:2. Again, this is just, it's a joke, people. John 14:2. In my Father's house, there are many genders. This is Jesus talking. In my Father's house, there are many genders. I go to prepare a racially segregated safe space for you. Anyway, just one little emails going out from the Babylon Bee. If you can subscribe, I actually haven't looked into it, but anyway, they're really, really good. Next hour of the program, I got Congressman Andy Biggs, and he's from Arizona. We'll be talking about the correlation between defund the police and a spike in crime all across the country. And sadly, because of the defund the police movement, that I never thought, and it didn't even cross my mind that such a lunatic concept would actually gain traction. But I mean, what does that say of the level of intelligence or level of education? What does that say about our society today, but about our country, our America? What does that say about us? Where something so crazy, defund the police. You think somebody would be slapped down and they would laugh at somebody who said something like that at the first mention of it, be slapped down. No, it actually got traction and it became, it still is a movement out there somewhere in some municipalities, very leftist Democrat municipalities. That ain't happening in no Republican municipalities. I guarantee you that. All right, Steve, well, let's do some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Volusia County, Florida Man, accused of beating someone with a golf club. This dude, he said he just wanted to get out. He goes, his name is David Foster. He attacked an employee at the country club. The man told him, sir, we're closing up. That's there, got to shut down. Dude got so upset, he just wanted to get out, wanted to get some fresh air. He said, I'm going to kill you. Grabbed the club, started beating him over the head, broke the thing. Well, he won't be seeing daylight for a while. He's going to be stuck in a jail. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
The federal government is spending all of its resources concerning the border on the people who are trying to enter into the state of Texas. I'm focused on the humanitarian crisis that Texans are suffering through. Texans on the border are suffering through a humanitarian crisis by having their lives disrupted with guns and gangs and being riddled with crime.
Governor Greg Abbott from the state of Texas. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Dana Show for a Thursday. I'm Sergio Sanchez, right here on the Texas-Mexico border, the front lines of news every single day. And Governor Abbott, I'm trying to address this issue because we have been abandoned by Washington, D.C. yet again. We in Texas here on the border, from cities to ranch country, especially in ranch country, the folks that are dealing with all these coyotes, the coyotes, trespassing illegally with huge groups of people who are becoming very, very aggressive. Governor Abbott has already set aside about 1,000 beds with the criminal in the justice mechanisms here in the state of Texas, about 1,000 beds. That's what I heard last week. About 1,000 beds are going to make room to hold individuals who trespass property and are arrested for trespassing. At least you can do that, right? Breaking fences, destroying property, breaking into ranch homes, maybe threatening individuals, using vehicles to ram property, destroy property, trespass into property, arrest them, get DPS to take them into custody, and they can face charges on that. It's a start. He's doing something more than the federal government is doing right now. There was a write-up on the Epoch Times. Sheriff Brad Cole from Kinney County far west of us and north of us. Everything is west of us, north of us here in deep South Texas. See, I'm broadcasting the Dana Show today from the favorite entry point of illegal immigrants that are gaming the asylum system, crossing with their kids, sending their kids to cross alone, crossing as individuals, who, by the way, all individuals who cross alone will soon be allowed to stay because Title 42, the whole medical restriction issue related to COVID, where this government, our government, could catch an individual and send them back to Mexico. Not catch and release here, but catch and return to Mexico. Yeah, the whole catch and release here, that's going to apply to single individuals, folks who just cross on their own illegally. They're going to be released into the general population. Those who make it around Border Patrol and see, my suspicion is that individuals that cross into this country illegally and make it around Border Patrol. Border Patrol, you know, my friends here, down, literally down the street from me. They're about 10, 11 miles away from this news radio studio here in Deep South Texas. Right now, wake up. Literally thousands here in my market, hundreds of Border Patrol agents patrolling the river. And they're functioning as babysitters, just pretty much taking information, filling out forms, large groups of people surrendering themselves to Border Patrol to be processed and allowed to stay, because under the Biden administration, that's what he did. You cross illegally, you can stay now, especially if you bring a kid with you. You're a kid, you can stay here. And we got 22, 23, some odd thousand kids already in federal custody. We got a big federal daycare taking care of all these kids. And no hope, no expectation whatsoever that the federal authorities, state authorities, anybody will be allowed to prosecute the parents or caretakers who subjected these kids to this dangerous trip across cartel land, that is Mexico, and survived the trip and survived swimming across the river and are now here. And yet this government, again, how compassionate, and unfortunately, downright dumb we are as a nation. The emphasis, the priority is to reunite these kids that have been subjected to all this abuse and Lord knows what else. You know, rape and sexual assault and physical violence by all those ugly things. You know, I know you don't want to think about that. That's like a real heavy lunch for you right now, or heavy dinner for you. You don't want to think about stuff like that. But that's the big problem. We got Border Patrol distracted. They're the babysitters. They're taking care and registering all these people crossing illegally. And the ones that go around them make it to ranch country. Make it to cattle farmers and other areas of South Texas and West Texas where they're farming and crossing those lands and breaking fences and taking vehicles and ramming fences and damaging fences and allowing livestock to go all over the place. And they're being really aggressive. And the Epoch Times, I was telling you, Kinney County Sheriff Brad Coe, he was a Border Patrol agent decades ago. He's been working as sheriff in Kinney County. His words, "We're starting to see more intentional damage." He said, "I've never seen it quite like this. Most of the vehicle stops, we're finding weapons in the vehicles. It's nuts. These people," referring to the illegal immigrants who make it on ranch country or make it up to a farmhouse, "they're demanding, you will feed me. You will give me water. No, please, like I'm starving, or please, I'm dying of thirst." No, it's like, you will. Come on, gringo. Come on. Whether you're Latino, it doesn't matter. You're gringo. You feed me. You give me water. Comments from, and that same writer from the Epoch Times, Uvalde Mayor Don McLaughlin saying, a resident was given a list of demands by a group of illegal aliens that went up to his home. A writer, right? Punch list and writer. This is what we need. These are the supplies that we need. You will give this to us. Another rural property threatened by a final message of illegal immigrant taken into custody. "I know where you live," said an illegal that was taken into custody after it was arrested for trespassing. This is what folks out in ranch country are dealing with. And this is what people in the cities here in Deep South Texas, all the multiple little cities that dot Deep South Texas, San Antonio, Austin, Houston, Phoenix, San Diego, you guys in the cities, you guys don't understand what's going on in ranch country. And it is, like I told you first hour, I do believe that it is the frustration, the desperation of rural property owners, ranch country farmers, cattle farmers. All these people are the ones that are pressing the government to get something done. And Texas is trying to do something. Going to try to build a wall. And if you'd like to participate, the governor here in Texas is soon to open up a GoFundMe style operation to get this paid for. Set up something in cooperation. Again, may I say again, I hope it is in cooperation with Border Patrol. Governor, let Border Patrol tell your team where they want the wall, whatever wall you can put up. Meantime, up in D.C., John Cornyn in the news because lawmakers up there are haggling over something called Dream and Promise Act. And Senator Cornyn is not happy with this legislation up in D.C. because, well, it's going too far. The intent of this legislation is to protect the so-called dreamers. I say so-called because, and I agree with what former President Trump said, all American children, all children are dreamers. Now, the label dreamers given to these kids brought to the country illegally, there has been legislation in the past to try to protect them and give them a path to normalization or a green card or citizenship or something like that. All of this is lost in this argument because the big distraction is right on the border. The big distraction that nobody on the left is willing to talk about, but that is what is suppressing the chance, the opportunity to normalize the status of these individuals who so desperately they wish to stay. And the majority of Americans, according to polling data, pretty much all polling data, the majority of Americans wish to provide something for these folks to stay here, to work, to bring up a family. But the question is, where is the cutoff date? What is the fair cutoff date? If the so-called dreamers that came into this country during a certain calendar period, and it's already been defined, I don't know what it is. I just know it's not yesterday. Because this Dream and Promise Act, as being debated up in D.C., is for also would allow individuals who have crossed illegally to be, in essence, be deemed dreamers as well. So instead of the previous argument of only a certain calendar period going back a decade or two or three decades ago, if you were brought as a child within the past three decades or something like that. No, it's this. The movement in D.C. is to allow pretty much everyone a chance to stay here legally, either normalize their work status or give them a path to citizenship. And that, the quote from John Cornyn from Texas, that is just way too much. But then my follow-up question is, what is the fair date? Because we have not a sieve, as the president, former President Trump would say, we have a wide open door and a human tsunami. It's still coming at us. It's worse now than it's been in more than two decades, and it's getting worse every single month. So what of them that are coming, crossing right now? Because that's what they want to do up in Washington, D.C., is give them normalized status as well. None of this, in my opinion, I do not expect any of this normalization of dreamer status. It ain't going to happen. I don't see it. Because it's not politically popular. And right around the corner, you got a bunch of individuals here before the fall that will be declaring their candidacy for Congress and will be challenging in areas that even Democrats, some of these Democrats that might have been voted in as a result of more independents voting in favor of them because they had a weak Republican candidate in various areas of this country. You got a lot of Democrats and Republicans that are vulnerable, if they do not take a stand and say, absolutely not, we will not give normalized immigration status to anyone who jumped the line, entered the country illegally. We need to do on the legislative side precisely what the high court in unanimous fashion did a few days back and say, you cross the border illegally, American law says you don't get a green card. I got lots more news. I'm going to need a bit more time to flesh this one out. President Trump wanted to publicly grill Dr. Fauci on the Wuhan lab. There's a new book by an Australian author. I think this one's from the New York Post. They did a quick write-up on it. What really happened in Wuhan? I'll tell you a little bit more about that here in a second. And stick around, because I got a conversation with Arizona Republican Representative Andy Biggs and his effort to try to connect two train cars. One, it's the defund the police, and the other one is the spike in crime in big American cities. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
The Dana Show, broadcasting from South Texas. I refer to it as her Southern Command. I'm Sergio Sanchez. As always, an honor that you join us. You want to say hi online? We're still kind of forced to do the whole Twitter and Facebook thing. And you can reach out on Twitter and say hi to me on at Sergio Talk. That's the address on Facebook. It's Sergio Sanchez. I know there's a whole, you know, continent full, it seems, of Sergio Sanchez, especially in España, right, in Mexico. But I'm sure I'll pop up if, you know, if you're conservative. Maybe we have some like-minded friends. And the porthole, a little circle, says something about cystic fibrosis. I saw this political note out of the state of Georgia. Kelly Loeffler, remember her? Kelly Loeffler, former senator, Republican from Georgia. Kelly Loeffler says he wants to go at it again. Wants a do-over against Pastor, Democrat Senator Raphael Warnock. Should be a crowded field, because this is a short stint that he's in, like a couple of years, right? I remember the race. I remember how heartbroken yours truly, many of us were, that both Senate seats went to the Democrats and created the current political mess, the disenchantment after the election. And how many Republicans, they just stayed home. But in Georgia, if they voted for Trump first go around, but they didn't vote to keep the Republican Senate second round, they deserve in Georgia the government that they got. I don't know. And I remember her interviews and her conversations. I just, she sounded too much like a politician. That's just my opinion. I don't know what happens with folks when they run for office. It's like at one point they slowly, methodically morph, and they go from being human being to political speakers, politics speak. It's the reality of who they are. It's like they shed that. There is a certain not very genuine feel to people who are politicians. Anyway, I don't mean to speak ill of Kelly Loeffler. She's a politician like anyone else. I'm just thinking, I'm hoping and praying there's got to be more people in Georgia willing to, you know, speak an honest game, make honest promises, and try to represent Georgia for Georgians and America for Americans. Anyway, that's what's taking place in Georgia. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Yeah, one of the high court decisions today was on Obamacare. Not that the high court said, yeah, Obamacare, thumbs up, best thing since sliced bread. We love it. No, they didn't. They just told Texas and all the other states, you guys have no standing. Bye-bye. But the comments from former President Obama, Obamacare is here to stay. He just said that a few moments back on Twitter. Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, once they open up an agency or a program, it's really hard to take it down. And Amazon hoping to work with big social media to take down fake reviews of stuff. This is the Dana Show from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
The weird, the unusual, and the hilarious. Check out Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that a compromise you could support?
Absolutely. What Senator Manchin is putting forward are some basic building blocks that we need to ensure that democracy is accessible no matter your geography. And those provisions that he is setting forth are strong ones that will create a level playing field, will create standards that do not vary from state to state, and I think will ensure that every American has improved access to the right to vote despite the onslaught of state legislation seeking to restrict access to the right to vote.
I was restricting nothing like that. My goodness. If you're a U.S. citizen of voting age with no criminal record that may prevent you from voting, you can vote. My goodness. Stacey Abrams. Yeah, that's the architect. And when I hear the name Stacey Abrams, I shudder a bit. Now, kudos to Stacey Abrams, because she has worked hard and achieved gains to change Georgia into that blue hue that is expressing right now. That ground game, patiently, methodically creating that ground game, getting people registered to vote, get pushing the vote out, taking advantage of the fact that disenchanted Trump voters stayed home after the election, and two Republican seats in Georgia went blue, and a lot of other seats went blue. She's the architect. It's big time. She's responsible for what is taking place in the state of Georgia. You want that to happen in your state? You, if you're still Republican, you still have a Republican legislature, you pay attention to what's taking place in Georgia. And now Stacey Abrams wants to federalize election processes in this country. And that's what, you know, Senate 1, HR 1 is all about. Take away, in other words, arrest from the states, their constitutional job, their authority, their responsibility to run elections. Let's even out the rules across the nation. Let's just federalize how we're going to run all elections. Just open up everything to, you know, as defined by Stacey Abrams and her team. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Let me mention this real quick, because I promised this to you right before the break. The name of the book is What Really Happened in Wuhan. It expresses some pretty interesting, from the author's perspective. This Australian broadcaster, Sherry Markson, that President Trump, that he wanted to haul Dr. Anthony Fauci in front of a presidential commission to give evidence about U.S. funding of the Wuhan laboratory. They got pretty close to having that sit down, according to the write-up, and this write-up is in the New York Post. The president's senior advisors talked him out of the idea. It was just about to be announced. There's another revelation in that book that folks in the U.S. suspected China had developed a vaccine for COVID-19 prior to the outbreak, and it also makes revelations that are embarrassing to U.S. intelligence. U.S. intelligence agencies are seeking advice on whether the virus was natural, you know, from bats, could have been laboratory origin, talking about the connection of Wuhan back to a U.S. lab and research facility as well. So anyway, the name of the book I was telling you about is What Really Happened in Wuhan. It's from Australian broadcaster Sherry Markson. Okay, back to the U.S. Pleasure to meet by phone on the Dana Show, Congressman Andy Biggs. How you doing, Congressman?
Fantastic, Sergio. Good to be with you.
Thanks for being on the Dana Show. Appreciate your time today. So I know you're trying to connect a couple of train cars. One is the defund the police that's hitched to the spike in crime in major American cities. You got any interesting numbers there in front of you could share with me? Because I got an article here on some of the spike in violent crime in American cities. And I suppose we could start pointing to specifically the cities that started this crazy narrative, this defund the police narrative.
Yeah, just some quick numbers. The New York Police Department, right? Murders have jumped by 14% through March. and shootings are up 50%. That's because they defunded by $1 billion, the New York City Police Department. In L.A., homicides up 36%. They reduced by $150 million. Now they're looking to bring money back. Detroit is I mean, this is 327 homicides as opposed to 275 in 2019. So 327 to 275. And ag assaults up by over 2,500. And they cut, since 2014, their police force by 20%. So that's just three big cities that you've got where this has happened. And, you know, these folks don't want to acknowledge it. Well, I think some of them are having to acknowledge it finally.
Well, yeah, and I would hope that they acknowledge it next time they vote for, I mean, sending people to City Hall in their respective cities. For example, here in Austin, for example, they got their numbers spiking through the roof. Houston's not doing good either. I didn't hear too much as far as defund the police over there. I know I heard it in Dallas. Their numbers are up in Dallas as well. But it's at City Hall level. They need to kick those people out. And some of these cities have had a chance to do so already. Seattle, they didn't. Oh. They didn't change course. They deserve the government they have, Congressman, if they're going to keep the same idiots going to City Hall.
Amen to that. I mean, that's the American voter has got to just say at some point, you know, we're going to have a change. They don't like these policies. I always tell people all the time, if you don't like my policies, there is an avenue for you. You can vote me out. If you like my policies, you vote me back in. And it, look, where it's gotten dangerous to live, the Democrats here keep talking about domestic terrorism. You know what the big problem is? Mm-hmm. Is in these big cities, that increase in violence. That's what's a bigger problem, and probably, quite frankly, the biggest violent crime problem we have in this country is in those big cities that have said, we don't like police. Some of them have taken away qualified immunity, which means that an officer is going to be personally liable even if they're following proper rules, training, and protocol. I mean, who wants to be a police officer anymore? That's why people are leaving the police force.
Yeah, the recruitment numbers are really sad. Kind of scary to think what may happen in the not-too-distant future if the recruitment numbers stay the way they are in police departments across the country. My guest right now on The Dana Show, Congressman Andy Biggs from Arizona. So I understand that you sent a letter to the congresswoman from Houston with obviously the most non-PC name you could ask for, you know, by leftist standards, Sheila Jackson Lee. What is she in charge of up in D.C., Sheila Jackson Lee?
She is the chairwoman of the Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security in the Judiciary Committee.
What do you want her to do? You call up a hearing on this? You know she ain't going to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? All we can do is push and push and try to expose, right? I mean, that's just like in City Hall, where you have these people want to defund these folks and the police, and they're leftists. The same thing happens here. We're facing that the Democrats have the majority, and they are controlled and captured by the far left here. And that means that the Republicans' job is to get in the way, slow them down where we can, where it's possible, where the rules allow. We want to see if we can have these public hearings, and otherwise we have to inform the public what is happening.
Outside, go ahead and drink a little sip of water, Congressman. We'll
thank you.
Yeah. Outside of just getting a little bit of, you know, making this a talking, you know, opportunity, a conversation opportunity, outside of that, what else can we hope for, if anything, when it comes to sitting down, let me, like in a subcommittee or maybe talking about this on the side to connect the dots between defunding the police and increasing crime?
Well, there's a lot of information that's out there. I mean, even the FBI puts it out. It's actually in right-wing, I won't say right-wing, what I would call more accurate news reporting. I mean, it's out there. Even Washington Post, New York Times, they don't hide it. They may make it a little bit more difficult to get to, but they can't hide it. It's big. New York is losing police officers left and right who are fleeing. So if you want to find out more about it, I mean, you can go to my website, and we talk about it. Others do as well. But you have to let your representatives know, please keep fighting this. And I would say at the local level, they individuals have to change their local leaders. That's what the left did. That's what the left did.
Yeah. Absolutely. What Stacey Abrams managed to accomplish in getting the ground game in the state of Georgia, the hard work of saving our communities, local level, state level, it's got to happen by liberty-minded, America-loving individuals all across our country if we have any hope in preserving our nation. And we still have, mercifully, we still have many state houses and many governor's mansions that still are Republican, and they're working hard to protect things like the vote and voting processes at the state level. But unless we get all these flag-waving, Trump flag-waving patriots out there into their elections offices and work elections and understand how to count the mail-in vote and understand these processes and get them up to the state house, I'm afraid the Democrats, they have too many foot soldiers. And what's happening in your state, Congressman, which is happening in my state as well, it's kind of scaring me. I keep telling people that Texas is shiny red on the crust, but it's rotten to the core because Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, they're all run by Democrats, deep, deep blue Democrats. It's just the top leadership in Texas that's red. And Arizona, I'm watching your state lurch middle left. It's scaring me what's going on in Arizona. You got to take it back, Andy.
You're absolutely right. So in Arizona, look, we've got two Democrat senators. We've got the number two position in the state's a Democrat. We've got a lot of elections officials that are Democrats. We've got Phoenix, big city, run by Democrats. And all around Phoenix, though, there's all the red. And we're getting the same thing you guys get in Texas. You get the folks from California that come in, the folks from Illinois that come down to you guys and us. And they want to be there because lower taxes, more affordable living, a better lifestyle, all of those things. And for some reason, they can't put it together. Yeah. They can't, why is that? Why is it so much cheaper to live in Arizona than California? Well, they can't associate, can't figure it out. And so I always tell them, thanks for being here. We're glad you're here. Don't vote to turn us into California, please, I beg you.
Remember what happened in Illinois. Remember what happened in California. Oregon, of all places, my goodness. Yeah. All those places are gone. Yeah, don't bring those ideas down here. So what's the hope in the next election cycle? Again, lots of people going to be running for office, declaring their candidacy for state houses all over the place and representatives up in Washington. What's your hope that we can flip things up in D.C. in the House and get a majority for the conservatives?
I think we can flip the House in D.C. I think we will. A lot depends on redistricting. The Freedom Caucus that I'm the chair of, we're working on basically a new platform, a new contract with America. So we're just going to say, look, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. And I think that the majority of Americans agree on things like election integrity. They agree on securing the border. They agree on wanting good jobs, good taxes, low inflation. And the fact is, Sergio, what we're facing is a left wing that is out of control. So while we put together what I think will be some very rational policies that Americans get behind, you can contrast very clearly with bad governance that you get from left-wing leaders. The question is, are there enough rational Americans to tie this together and help us carry it through? I think there are. I still think we're a center-right nation.
Border security is top. You being a border state there in Arizona as well, that's got to be at the very, very top. Unfortunately, the majority of the American people, because of the news decision gods in glass towers in New York, they're not getting spoon-fed top of the hour the truth, the sad truth that's what's taking place on the U.S.-Mexican border every single day, worse now than it's been in more than two decades, and it's getting worse by the week. And I would hope that folks realize that this is the number one problem that we need to fix. And I hope it's political ammunition going into the next round, because we need to change D.C. and hopefully help folks focus on solving this issue. Anything else before I let you go, Congressman?
Well, God bless you for what you're doing, because the left stream media is not going to help us. We need people who are honest, like you guys, you and Dana, and to get the word out, because that if the narrative is going to change, it has to be for freedom. It has to be for liberty. It has to be for the Constitution. It has to be for individuals, not for some collectives, not for some divisive group think that the left has. That's going to help us win. What you guys do is so critical. What your listeners do is absolutely essential to retaking this country.
Well, thanks for the words of encouragement. Congressman, soldier on for liberty. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today on the Dana Show from Arizona. Congressman Andy Biggs. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, this is The Dana Show.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
From The Dana Show, Southern Command, Rio Grande Valley of Texas, to the nation, to the world, and listen to the podcast, the condensed version of the show, daily, danaradio.com. Producer Steve puts everything together. And that we can get all the interviews and all the news content. Again, danaradio.com. Subscribe to Dana's newsletter every single day, man. Even on vacation, that woman's working hard. She's churning out all that commentary and all the news on her newsletter. And, man, that hardest working woman in the news show business, period. That's Dana Lash. That's our Dana. Growing every single day, climbing every single day. Like next week, we got a bunch of affiliates that are going to be onboarding to the Dana Show. She's, according to Talkers Magazine, and for some reason, Facebook got all offended. They got all bent out of shape. They said, oh, this, your post of you being number six in the nation offends our community standards. Whatever. President Trump, you guys that love America, love liberty, America for Americans, all that stuff, you guys pull your money together. Please create the competition for Twitter and Facebook. Hurry up, muchachos. You know, there's a lot of commentary about Texas being, you know, constitutional carry now. The governor has signed that into law, but there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 7 pieces of legislation the governor here in Texas signed into law. One of them that caught my eye, that I don't think enough has been said, and thank God for it. Senate Bill 19, prohibiting any governmental entity in Texas from contracting, doing business with any business that discriminates against firearm and ammunition businesses or organizations. You know what comes to mind? Several banking entities that have a problem with gun manufacturers and sellers. So I guess those bank accounts are going to be closed, or assets going to be moved here pretty soon at county and city. All right, Steve, well, let's do a day in stupidity. What you got?
All right. Joe Biden was trying to explain how his words are actually going to end up in some good consequences for the country, but his expression didn't really work very well. So we'll see. Uh-huh.
To this moment, presidents' ratings have always gone up in a crisis. But, you know, that little expression, the proof of the, you know, is going to be in eating the pudding. You know, what's it going to look like?
Which, for Joe Biden, I think, not pudding, but, you know, at his age and probably at the end of the day, right before bedtime at 5 p.m. would be what? Cottage cheese and peaches, right? Hey, thanks for joining us on The Dana Show.